God's word is a fire in my bones,
and I cannot keep it in.
We are not building an institution or a program.
We are building the kingdom of God.
This is Do Not Keep Silent.
Welcome in to Do Not Keep Silent. Find us online at donotkeepsilent.com. Tonight we're going to dig into the crucifixion and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And Katie Erickson's with me. How you doing, Katie?
Doing pretty good. How you doing?
Doing awesome. Yeah, don't be a pushover. Again, you can find us online at donotkeepsilent.com. That's donotkeepsilent.com. Katie, for us to get into this, how we decided we're going to kind of dig into this a bit?
We are going to be looking at 1 Corinthians 15.
So I want to encourage every one of you, unless you're driving a car, open up a Bible, go to the analog version,
you can pull it up online. It's okay.
You can pull it up online.
That's
absolutely
how I have it.
The digital. I have it in analog tonight.
You have a printout from a website.
It's pretty amazing.
Yes.
So friends, just wanted to encourage you, follow along with us, because you know what? Well, both of us love this chapter in the Bible, and it's just, well, I think it knocks it out of the park.
It really does. Yeah, so check out 1 Corinthians 15. Get there now. Follow along with us. It'll be a good time.
Absolutely. And friends, again, if you want to find out more about the ministry, you can go to donotkeepsilent.com. That's donotkeepsilent.com. Also, don't forget, we do have a Facebook page available. Do Not Keep Silent. Why not go like and follow the page right now? So, Katie, how about you get us started off here?
All right. So we're going to just read to you from 1 Corinthians 15 and talk about it a bit, and we'll see what happens. So it says, "Now, brothers and sisters, I want to remind you of the gospel I preached to you, which you received and on which you have taken your stand. By this gospel you are saved, if you hold firmly to the word I preached to you. Otherwise, you have believed in vain. For what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas and then to the 12. After that, he appeared to more than 500 of the brothers and sisters at the same time, most of whom are still living, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles, and last of all, he appeared to me also as to one abnormally born."
All right.
Paul writing, of course. Just
yeah.
Throwing that in.
So let's just talk about that, because that sounds kind of weird.
It does.
In a way to put it. One abnormally born. What is Paul kind of referencing?
Well, it basically references how he was not one of the original disciples. You know, he did not follow Jesus around like the 12 did while Jesus was in his earthly ministry. And so, and with Paul, in fact, you know, after Jesus was crucified, raised from the dead, all that, and this whole church thing was starting to get going, Paul was persecuting the followers of the way, as they were known. You know, so he wasn't just like, oh, they can do their thing, whatever. No, he was like actively seeking them out to kill them. And so, you know, Paul was not really a part of this whole Jesus thing for quite some time. And then, you know, Jesus finally got a hold of him, you know, knocked him off his horse,
quite literally, yeah.
Blinded him for a couple days, you know, things like that. And that's when Paul was finally converted to the faith. And that's why he says, as to one abnormally born.
And for those of you maybe not, you know, familiar with Paul's story. So Jesus was crucified, obviously, and then he was buried, and then he was raised from the dead. And when Paul was going to Damascus, Jesus was already in heaven.
Mm-hmm.
He had ascended into heaven, and so for Jesus to knock Paul off of his horse,
mm-hmm.
Let's get real, that's kind of a big deal at that point.
Oh, definitely. Yeah. You know, like blinded him and all that. It was kind of a big deal. And you can check out that story in Acts chapter 9. I encourage you to go read that if you're not familiar with how that all went down and what happened to Paul.
Absolutely.
It's pretty amazing.
And I love, too, verse 3 where it says, "For what I received, I passed on to you as first importance." So, friends, let's just stop there. As first importance. So, in other words, this is really important. Paul is basically saying, not only is this really important, but this is the first thing that's really important. So what is that? Well, it says that Christ died for our sins, according to the scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day, according to the scriptures. And then he goes on to say that he appeared not just to Cephas and then to the 12. So the gospel, the gospel
pretty
message.
Much. Yeah, that's it right there.
I mean, it, you know, so many people want to make this hard, and so many people want to find something fresh and new. And friends, I mean, I'm even talking to my brothers and sisters in Christ. So many of us want to be important. No, Jesus is important. It has, look, what does it have to do with us? It has to do with us that we're just dirty, rotten sinners, and Jesus' blood covers up our sin. And that in and through us, the Holy Spirit works. And, well, hopefully Jesus gets all the credit, and we get none. Let's not forget what's really important here. Also, Katie, why is it important that Jesus appeared to people after he was crucified and then buried? Why is it important?
Well, essentially, it validated that he actually raised. You know, I mean, if he just died and then poof, gone, well, nobody would believe that he was resurrected. You know, but since he appeared to so many people, you know, and like it says, okay, well, Cephas, then the 12, and then more than 500
right.
at the same time.
Yeah.
You know, and at the time Paul wrote this, most of them were still living. So people could verify this. You know, you could go ask that person, did you really see Jesus? And they'd be like, yes, yes, I did. And so it was totally validating for what happened. You know, it verified this story.
Yeah, it verified, look, the body wasn't stolen. They weren't, mm-hmm. you know, dragging around some corpse.
Yeah, like he appeared as what appeared to be a living person, you
right.
know? I mean, and we even know, like, from the gospel accounts and all that, that, you know, Jesus did human things after he was raised. Like, he ate food.
Yeah.
You know, so, like, he wasn't just a ghost or something. Like,
and people
you know.
touched him.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Thomas comes to mind.
Yeah.
Thomas was like, look, I'm not going to believe this until I can put my fingers where the nails were and put my hand in his side. And Jesus mm-hmm. showed up and goes, okay.
Here you go.
And then what did Thomas do? This is what I love about the story of Thomas. He was very doubting, and so many people rip on him for that. But once Jesus proved it, then Thomas said, my Lord and my God.
Mm-hmm. And he totally believed.
Yes. Absolutely. Let's keep moving on here. 1 Corinthians 15, and I think we're going to be in verse 9.
Yes, we are. Yeah. So again, this is Paul writing, and he says, for I am the least of the apostles and do not even deserve to be called an apostle because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace to me was not without effect. No, I worked harder than all of them, yet not I, but the grace of God that was with me. Whether then it is I or they, this is what we preach, and this is what you believed. So again, that's Paul just, you know, sharing his story there of like, I wasn't just like by the sidelines. No, I was actively persecuting the church of God
right.
until Jesus got a hold of me.
Yeah. And I worked harder than all of them.
Exactly. Well, he kind of had to, I mean, to overcome that.
Right.
You know, like, oh, yeah, this guy, he was killing us. Now he's one of us.
Right.
Okay.
right. I mean, can you imagine being the disciples when they found out? Or
seriously.
It was being told, hey, this Paul guy, he's saying he's with, or this Saul guy.
Yeah.
He's saying he's with us now.
Like, are you kidding? Sounds like a trap to me.
Right.
Like, oh, yeah, sure, he's going to come in, then he'll know where we are, and he'll just kill all of us, right?
Right.
I totally would have thought that if I was
well,
there,
yeah.
you know?
I mean, so Paul had a lot to overcome.
Definitely.
Time. So again, we're in 1 Corinthians 15, and let's keep moving on with verse 12.
All right. But if it is preached that Christ has been raised from the dead, how can some of you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? If there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised.
And I'm going to stop you there. Cause
yeah, because there's a lot.
That's super important.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, go ahead.
Yeah, you go ahead.
Okay, well, again, if it's preached that Christ has been raised from the dead, okay, some of you out there, even now, some of you saying, well, no, Christ didn't raise from the dead. Okay, now, wait a minute. He said, not just he said, people said he raised from the dead. So he raised from the dead. And if there is no resurrection of Jesus Christ, then you know what? We have no hope.
Exactly. Because if he wasn't raised, then we're not going to be raised either.
Right. I mean, so, friends, this really hinges on a huge, huge, well, problem. Because if we do not follow Christ in all that we do, if we do not, well, say yes, we receive salvation from Jesus, you're not going to be one of those that is raised from the dead.
Yeah, and we have to believe in resurrection from the dead. Because if we say that there is no resurrection whatsoever, then, well, we can't believe that Jesus was raised.
Right.
You know, that's what Paul's saying here.
Right. And 14 goes on to say, and if Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless, and so is your faith.
Bam. Mic drop right there.
Ouch.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you have to believe this. Otherwise, the faith is pointless.
Right.
There's nothing to it.
So, friends out there, again, that are tuning in, if, you know, you're following Jesus, or, you know, you are trying to fake it real well, and you're saying, yeah, I'm a follower of Jesus, but you don't believe in the resurrection, I'm just letting you know your preaching is useless, and so is your faith. I'm not being mean. I'm telling you what Paul is saying.
Yeah, the word there in the Greek where we see useless, it could mean empty or empty-handed, vain, ineffective, useless, and foolish.
Okay.
So there you go.
So I think that covers
pretty
the
much
whole thing. Friends, we're going to dig into more into verse 15 here coming up in just a bit, but want to share with you one of our fast casts. Again, thanks for tuning in. Do not keep silent.
This is the Worldview Warriors Fast Cast,
your daily spiritual energy drink,
with your host,
Jason DeZurich.
Jesus set aside everything to live as a man in a sin-cursed world out of his love for us. And in return, what are we offering back? Many churches see large chunks of their congregations who can't even bother to show up to church on time. Many are fickle in their prayer time and Bible reading. God loved us by setting aside everything, and we struggle to give him 5 minutes of our time. We have so much to learn and so much of self that needs to die. Love never fails. Friends, despite our shortcomings and despite our fickleness, God is not fickle. His love never fails. To dig more into this idea, friends, go find Charlie Wolcott's blog post titled, Love Never Fails.
Find us online
at worldviewwarriors.org.
Yeah, find us online at worldviewwarriors.org. That's worldviewwarriors.org. Friends, love does not fail. It never fails. I encourage you, we are in 1 Corinthians 15, but I encourage you, take some time this week to go read 1 Corinthians 13. In fact, I really encourage you to try to memorize the whole thing. Because, Katie, if we get the love part wrong,
what's the point?
Absolutely. What is the point? If we don't love, friends, why are we even doing this? So, again, digging into 1 Corinthians 15, again, you can find more about the ministry at worldviewwarriors.org. 14, verse 14 says, and if Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless, and so is your faith. And 15 goes on to say what, Katie?
More than that, we are then found to be false witnesses about God, for we have testified about God that he raised Christ from the dead. But he did not raise him if, in fact, the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, then Christ has not been raised either. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins.
And why is that so important for us to understand?
That's what our faith is all about. Mm. I mean, that's like it says right there. You know, if Christ has not been raised, then your faith is futile. It's useless. We're still in our sins, and we can't be saved from them, and we can't approach God if Christ was not raised.
You know, what would you tell someone if they were like, well, I hear what this is saying, but I think sins have changed. Meaning, I think there's some things that, you know, if I do them today, we've evolved in our thinking, and, you know, we've gone beyond that. So some things that the Bible says is sin just isn't sin anymore.
I would say that's totally not true, because God is God and you are not.
Okay. Okay.
Because it's not us who defines what sin is. You know, I mean, I can say something's right or wrong, sure, but that doesn't mean anything, because I didn't create the universe. God did.
Yeah.
So God is the one who created all of us in this whole world. And so he's the one who sets the rules. He's the one who decides what sin is. And he's the one who decides what can save us from sin, which is either living a completely and totally perfect life, which is impossible for anyone but God himself, mm-hmm. or believing in the death and the resurrection and the sacrifice of Jesus Christ.
All right. One more thing I want to ask you then. You're sitting at lunch with one of your friends and you're having some pasta.
I love pasta. Okay? Good choice.
Yeah. Having some pasta with red sauce and it's just amazing.
Awesome.
Okay. You have a glass of nice cool water and your friend just heard you say that and they go, "Well, that's your truth. My truth doesn't believe that." What are you going to say to that person in love?
I'm going to say that it's not my truth, it's God's truth.
Okay.
And because God is the authority in my life and his word is my authority, that's what I believe. And that's the way it is, whether you believe it or not.
Okay. So in essence, you'd let them know, look, you don't really have truth then. The way you're saying it?
I know the God who is the truth.
Okay.
You know, and everybody has that opportunity to know him and to know the truth. But it's not my truth per se. It's God's truth.
Right. Yeah. I mean, friends, I think we've bought into a lie. I just think we have. Too many people think, well, it's my truth. I want it to be my way. No. It's not like a burger that you get at some fast food restaurant.
No, it's definitely not like that. Because, again, you didn't create the world. You know, if you created it, then sure, you could, you know, decide what truth is. But yeah. None of us created this world. God did.
Right.
And so he gets to decide what's truth.
Yeah. And keep in mind, not just created it, but created it out of nothing. Mm-hmm. Not even out of thin air, because air wouldn't exist.
Exactly. It was formless and empty. That's what it right. says in Genesis 1, verse 2.
Right. So let's keep moving on here. It says that in 18. What does it say there?
So then those also who have fallen asleep in Christ are lost. And again, this is talking about if Christ had not been raised.
Right.
So if only for this life we have hope in Christ, we are of all people most to be pitied. So that one, that right there, that's what it all boils down to.
Yeah.
You know, if we only have hope in Christ for this life, you know, that's not what it's all about.
Yeah,
it's about the next
is
life.
The point?
Exactly.
And as it says, I mean, we are to be pitied more. I mean, friends, just listen to the weight of that. I mean, if only for this life we have hope in Christ, then we of all people are most to be pitied. Like, woe is us, literally.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, if that's all that you care about is this life, then I pity you.
Yeah. Now, I mean, so friends, Jesus Christ's death, burial, and resurrection absolutely matters, not just to your life, but to your friend's life, to your mom and dad's life, to even your enemy's life.
Yeah, everybody's life. That's what it's all about.
Mm-hmm. Again, friends, we're in 1 Corinthians 15 tonight. Let's keep moving on in verse 20.
But Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since death came through a man, the resurrection of the dead also comes through a man. For as in Adam all die, so in Christ all will be made alive.
Oh, we're not going to skip over that.
Oh,
that,
no, we can't just skip over that.
That's just good stuff there. Mm-hmm. I mean, friends, so many people get caught up in this, but friends, okay. If Jesus Christ is a real person, and I think it's fair to say that Katie and I believe that for sure.
Yes, yes.
Okay, this text right here is saying, okay, since death came through a man, who in the world would that be?
That would be Adam.
Adam, the very first man. Now, why is this important? Because, friends, so many people out there, even Christians I know, and I love you to death, okay? Even Christians out there who believe that Adam is just, well, a good story. Not really a real person. Friends, Scripture is clear that he was alive. And he is the first man. Not like the first man of many, meaning many created all at the same time. Meaning Adam and Eve then started to have babies, and then those babies had babies, and so on and so forth.
Yeah, I mean, Adam was the only person to ever live, well, Adam and Eve, who were never babies.
Right. Right. And so this is important because your sin, friends, your sin is linked to Adam. This is important because if you are someone who came after Adam, meaning you, he's your ancestor. Okay?
We go way back.
Yeah. Yeah. He's your ancestor. If you, for some reason, did not fall in the line of Adam, I hate to tell you, but you cannot be saved by Jesus Christ. It's impossible. Some people go, oh, that's just too bold of a statement. Absolutely not. Because for in Adam, all die. So in Christ, all will be made alive. You see, friends, your sin is connected to Adam. And all of Adam's people, all that came after him, each generation, they can be saved because Jesus Christ's blood now covers up all of Adam's, well, children, children's children, and so on and so forth. Covers all the sins of them, not the sins of some weird person that wasn't connected to Adam.
Which doesn't actually exist, but...
Right.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, if you believe that, that's how ridiculous that thinking gets. Some of you are going, oh my gosh, Jason, you're just getting way too much into it. Well, it's because I think this is super, super, duper important.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, I mean, it says in there, you know, for as in Adam all die, so in Christ all would be made alive. So we've all inherited this sin from Adam.
Right.
You know, and granted, if it wasn't Adam, you know, we all would have sinned. If we were in that position, we all would have done it eventually. But because we've all inherited that sin, now it's because of Christ that we can all essentially get rid of that sin.
Right.
To be made alive through him, to live with him forever. It's pretty amazing.
Absolutely. And friends, but each in turn, Christ, the first fruits, then when he comes, those who belong to him, okay, those who have accepted him as Savior, living as their life as he's the Lord, then the end will come. When he hands over the kingdom of God to the Father, or sorry, kingdom, I cannot read tonight.
Then the end will come when he hands over the kingdom to God the Father, after he has destroyed all dominion, authority, and power. For he must reign until he has put all his enemies under his feet. The last enemy to be destroyed is death.
Amen to that. Death is not good.
Nope. But
so
Jesus is going to destroy it.
So for those of you thinking maybe death is good, I just want you to know it is not. Because it needs to be destroyed. Death, disease, dying, all of that's going to go away. I don't know about you, but that is good news.
Oh, definitely.
I mean, look, I'll just tell you, and again, some of you know this, some of you don't know this. 2017, I had a life-threatening stroke. I should be dead right now in the flesh, probably sitting at the feet of Jesus in the spirit. Not like, I'm not even joking.
But instead, you get to be here with us.
And I'm hanging out. It's awesome. And God completely healed me. There's no maybe about that. And friends, why is that a big deal? Well, friends, I'm living in the now. And so, yeah, I had this stroke and death, disease, and dying. I mean, that would be dying.
Mm-hmm.
And thank God he healed me. And look, will I have another stroke in the future? I don't know. I'm praying I don't. And I'm trying to settle down just a bit and relax.
And calm down. No strokes tonight, Jason.
That's right. That'll help. But again, friends, I just appreciate you tuning in tonight. Again, we're in 1 Corinthians 15. When we come back, we'll dig into, I think, verse 28 to 29 a little bit. Again, we thank you for being with us here. For do not keep silent.
This is the Worldview Warriors Fastcast,
your daily spiritual energy drink,
with your host,
Jason Dezurek.
If you follow the ministry of Worldview Warriors, you know I have a saying that says, if we get the love part wrong, what's the point? Well, friends, love does not have to see the end results or even potential end results to keep on loving. It keeps on loving anyway. Jesus endured the cross in part because he saw the end results. He knew that mankind would be saved through his death, but he also went through that suffering knowing many would still die and go to hell in rejecting him. He still loved Judas, despite knowing he would betray him. Friends, to check out more on this, I encourage you to find Charlie Wolcott's blog post titled Love Never Fails at our website.
Find us online
at worldviewwarriors.org.
Yeah, find us online at worldviewwarriors.org. Go find that blog post today. Katie, let's keep moving here with 1 Corinthians 15.
All right, verse 27. For he has put everything under his feet. Now, when it says that everything has been put under him, meaning Jesus, it is clear that this does not include God himself who put everything under Christ. When he has done this, then the Son himself will be made subject to him who put everything under him so that God may be all in all. Now, if there is no resurrection, what will those do who are baptized for the dead? If the dead are not raised at all, why are people baptized for them? And as for us, why do we endanger ourselves every hour? I face death every day. Yes, just as surely as I boast about you in Christ Jesus our Lord. If I fought wild beasts in Ephesus with no more than human hopes, what have I gained? If the dead are not raised, let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die.
Oh, friends, thanks for tuning in to Do Not Keep Silent. Go read the rest of that. 1 Corinthians 15. We'll see you next time.
Be made new in Jesus Christ.
I will play your games. Just let me be.
Find us online
at donotkeepsilent.com.